God is so faithful, isn't he? And you know what? One thing the Lord loves us to discover is his faithfulness. Because many times we know about God, you see, we love him, we go to church, we teach our kids good Bible stories, we do all the right things, correct? But we have never really experienced on a personal level something that has put total trust and complete relying on God. Some of us may know and do all the right things, but never having really experienced him. You're right. Thanks, guys. That's great. But you know something? What God wants us to do, he wants to us to experience all that he is. Experience him as a person. You know, God is so faithful. His word is so faithful. But there was a time in my life when I didn't really understand or experience the word of God the way that I do know him now. So before we start, let's just pray and give him thanks. Thank him for this Sunday. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you for who you are. I thank you, Jesus, for your word, which remains faithful. It never changes. You said that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, I ask that today we're going to walk out with that assurance that your word is our rock, that your word is steadfast, that your word never changes, that you say what you mean and you don't change it, that your word is the fire in our hearts, that your word is your joy in our hearts, that your word completes us. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for changing us by the power of your word today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, what we're going to talk about today is what you say is what you get. Many of us believe that our words mean nothing. They say, oh, that was just a joke. Means nothing. But our words actually mean everything. Have you ever noticed that not many people want to hang around with negative people? Has anyone ever noticed that? You know, people will be grumbling and complaining and complaining and more and complaining and telling you all their problems. People sort of, you know, hi, I just avoid that person, don't want to be near them. But have you noticed how you just love to hang around with positive people? People that have always got something good to say about someone else. People that are always encouraging. People that are always, you know, loving other people and they're always kind. Well, I must say my husband's like that. You know, the moment I met Steve, he made me happy. He made me laugh. He was positive about everything. He was just great to be around. He's just a nice guy to be around. He always had a joke to tell me. Our first date was all jokes. You know, he told me the sickest, most dumb jokes ever, but he had me in stitches the whole date. That was some good jokes, honey. Real American humor. He was really American when I first met him. He had the drawl going on, like, hey, girl, how are you? I really like you, you know. I was like, oh. But, you know, I just knew that he was for me. I just knew that this is the man for me. I knew he loved God with all his heart, and I'd always prayed and said, God, I want to be with someone that loves God more than I do. And, you know, well, that's not the case now. We both love God equally. But I got that in Steve. And another thing I will say about my son always talks positive of everybody. I will say that about him too. It's a real privilege to have you here, son. I don't want to embarrass you, but I love having you here. Yeah. So, I won't cry. I won't, I promise. But, you know, the Word of God says in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. If we love to talk, we better learn to talk right. Who loves to talk? I know. Us women have to say at least, what was it? I was saying to Tiff the other day, 20,000 to 60,000 words a day, and men only need 5,000 words. So men are all out of words by the time they get home from work, and we're just starting, you know? So, you know, we've got to say our 60,000 words, because if we don't feel complete, women. You know, we have to complete ourselves and finish our conversation by the end of the day. But you know what? I believe that if we start talking right, we're going to see some good thing starting to come to completeness, because 60,000 words, that can accomplish a lot. And if we say 60,000 non-idle words, we're going to accomplish a lot of non-idle things. 60,000 words of idle things accomplishes absolutely nothing. So I reckon we should start thinking about what we say. Proverbs also says this, that a wise person builds their house and a foolish one tears it down. You know, I remember when we went to Ireland years back, you know, I was used to the Australian culture of like, you get to know someone, you say, how you going? And back in the 80s, it was great. Now it's not too bad. I'm thinking, hang on a sec, has negativity hit our culture? That's not a good thing. You know, I used to love it when we say, how you going? Great. Oh, good, you know. That's the Australian way. Everything's great. Even when the house is falling down, when it's under the floods, it's all good. We're a very positive nation. I love that about Australia. But, you know, I saw this school that I took the kids to. It was called Money More School. But it's a good name, wasn't it? Money More. So anyway, I took them into the schoolyard and I was waiting outside of this one classroom. And here's this teacher. She had this child in front of the room and she was tearing him down with her words. She was saying, you'll never amount to anything. Who do you think you are? And this is just a little, you know, 9-year-old kid, just tearing him down with her words. And I sat there, I was absolutely gobsmacked. I was like, I have never seen the like of it. That just would not exist in Australia. Just not. And I thought, she has totally destroyed that little boy's life. And I see that as people, we can be so destructive with our words, or we can be so uplifting with our words. What I love is what God says about us. There's never any change what he says about us. He says we're accepted no matter what. We're loved no matter what. We are the pride of his life. We are the joy of his life. He has his desire for us never changes. His desire is always good. It's never bad. He never changes, and that's what I love about his word. It never changes. His word is always the same. It's always yes and amen. It's never no and maybe. It's always yes. You want healing? Yes. You want that bill paid? Yes. You want that child coming back into the kingdom of God? Yes. You want to have a baby pain-free and happy and healthy? Yes. You know, God's word never changes, ever, ever, ever. That is the only solid thing we have in life. There is nothing else that is solid. For many years, I was insecure. For many years, I felt just like I had nothing to grab onto. And it wasn't until I discovered the constancy of God's word. I discovered the constancy of his presence. I discovered the constancy that he never quits on me, that I began to realize, you know what? God is faithful. His word is my rock. His word is my security. Not people. Not my marriage, not my kids. God is my security. And when I let that word come deep on the inside of me, that insecurity fell away. And I said, Lord, your word never changes. If you said 2,000 years ago you love me, that means you love me today. If you said 2,000 years ago it's your will to heal me, that means that if I'm not feeling well today, it's your will to heal me today. There's never any change. It's always yes. Our life is a result of what we say out of our hearts. Sometimes our circumstances scream at us everything opposite to what God's word says to us. True? It screams, you're going to fail. You're not going to make it. It's not going to happen. It screams, you're a failure. You're never going to get there. It screams, you're sick. You're going to die. It screams, you're never going to pay that bill. You're never going to finish your studies. It's screaming all this stuff at you. But God's word already says, my desire for you is for success. My desire is that your life becomes a trophy of grace. My desire is that you walk in divine health. You walk in strength. You walk in the power and authority of my word. My desire is that you be all that I've called you to be. That is what God says. And you know, when you begin to take the word of God in your heart and speak it out of your mouth, despite how you feel, you know what's going to happen? Your circumstances will change. Our whole life is a process of tearing down wrong thinking patterns that have been developed by maybe those teachers that have given you a dressing down, maybe the parents that said, you stupid thing, and da-da-da-da. Maybe your friends at school that have said, you know, you're not cool, so we don't want to be around you. You know, a lot of things have happened in our lives that have been put in place by what people have said, by what your friends have said. You know, I love Joyce Meyer because all of her friends said, laughed at her when she said, I'm going to have the greatest women's ministry ever. They fell off their chairs laughing. They said, you with your personality? You know, isn't that amazing? And look at her today, impacting lives throughout the world. But she said what God said, not what her friends thought of her. She could have easily said, oh, my friends think that. Maybe I'm not going to do it. Maybe I'm just imagining this. No, she believed what God said about her. She didn't listen to her friends. She didn't listen to what her background was, her abuse background. She listened to what God said about her. And it's time that we start listening to what God says and say what God says, not what we see or what other people tell us to say. Amen? Okay, who are we? Who are we? When you come out of you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the word of God says, into the kingdom of his glorious Son. You are a brand new person when you receive Jesus into your life. Amen? But your mind doesn't tell you that. Your mind still thinks the old way. Your mind still thinks what people have said, what stuff has happened. But the inside of you has different desires. You desire change. You desire to want to spend time in God's presence. You desire to do the right thing. And then your mind can sometimes get in the way and you do the wrong thing. And then you think, am I really saved? Yes, you are. We've just got to change the thinking. Number one, we are made in God's image. Genesis 1:26 says, God said, let us make man in our image. So we're made in God's image. God said it. That means according to our likeness and give them dominion all over the earth. So we're made in God's image, we're made in his likeness, and we have dominion. Three things: God's image, God's likeness, have dominion. That's who we are. God is also creative. God's word is creative. So when he speaks, things happen. And God doesn't speak unnecessarily. Ladies, God only says what he means and means what he says. And when he says something, stuff happens, and we jolly well better listen. The Holy Spirit moved on God's word. God said in Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3, the earth was without form, and the Spirit of God was on the face of the deep. God said, let there be light, and there was light. What was happening? The Holy Spirit was waiting for God to speak and say, move, let there be light. The moment God spoke, light happened. And do you know something? When the Word of God is in our heart and we begin to speak it out of our mouth, that same creative ability happens in our lives. As we speak, let there be. Let there be change in this situation. Let this happen in Jesus' name. We speak what God says. That same creative ability comes to play. The Holy Spirit is actually waiting for you to begin to line up out your language with what God says. If God says it, we believe it and we say it, and stuff begins to happen. Every time we speak God's word, every single time, something else happens. That little bit of change happens. It's a process. It's a building process, another brick, another bit of mortar, another brick. The word of God brings change, and it's trusting that no matter what happens, that God's word is at work on your behalf. The Bible says in Isaiah, it says that he watches over his word to perform it. In other words, God is watching to make sure that his word works in your life, that it works for you, that it's out there doing the stuff. Sometimes our emotions get into play, and I can be very emotional. I'm always teary when my emotions are moved. I can't help that. I'm an emotional human being. Even God gets emotional. He gets filled with joy at the thought of you. The Bible says every time a believer comes and a person receives Jesus, he jumps for joy and the angels have a party. I mean, he's full of emotions. He's full of passion. God's filled with love for you. He's full of love. You know, it said even Jesus wept when he turned up to see Lazarus was dead and he saw, you know, the emotions of the people there. It moved him with compassion and he wept. You know, God has emotions. He's not a non-feeling God. He understands emotions. He lives with emotions. But you know what? God's word steadies our emotions. His word is our comfy blanket. I remember Pastor Ian saying that a couple of years back when he was going through a really hard time. Pastor Ian is the pastor of Heritage of Faith on the Gold Coast. He said, God's word is my comfy blanket. And that's so true. His word comforts us. 1 Samuel 17, verse 45 to 47. Am I popping a lot, honey? Am I popping a lot? Okay. Tell me if I am. King David, he wasn't a king at this stage, but he was a man that knew God. And he was facing Goliath. And he actually said to Goliath, he said this in verse 45. You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. My interpretation was, who do you think you are? That was David's talking to this guy. Goliath, who do you think you are trying to come against God and his people? Who do you think you are? I love David's attitude towards the enemy. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I'll give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. You know what? David knew God. And he knew what God said about his situation. When he was facing that huge giant, he didn't tremble in fear. He knew that God had said his covenant of blessing, his covenant of protection, his covenant. And how dare the enemy come and try and battle against God? Because that was already a misser there. So he said exactly what God's desire was in that situation. The Bible says, speak to that mountain and you will move it into the sea. So he spoke to that mountain. He said, this is what I'm going to do because this is God's will. God knows what to say to get results. We need to learn his language so we get God's results. King David knew God's language and he got God's result. You know what happened to Goliath? He became headless. Simple. God knew what God had promised him. He knew what God had promised him. Number two, he believed it. Number three, he said it. Number one, he knew. He knew what God had said. He knew the covenant of blessing. He knew what God had promised. Number two, he believed it in his heart. Number three, he spoke it out of his mouth. David had actually experienced the power of God's spoken word. He was back. You know, he used to mind the sheep, and while he was minding the sheep, he would sing to the Lord and he would talk to the Lord and he would have a wonderful time with God. He became intimate with the Lord. He read the word. He understood the word. He began to know God's heart. And if you read the Psalms, you can truly see how David thought about God. He loved the Lord and he knew God loved him. He knew God had a plan for his life. He knew that he was part of God's chosen people. He knew that. Deeply and intimately. If you read David's life, he was intimate with the Lord. And what happened is because he knew that one of God's promises were protection, when a lion and a bear came and tried to attack the flock, wiped it out. No problem. God gave him power over the lion. God gave him power over the bear. So when he faced Goliath, he had the experience of victory behind him that he knew, I have that experience. If God can defeat a lion, a bear, through me, Goliath, no biggie. Same power, same anointing, Same thing. And I think I've talked about before the notches on your staff of remembrance. Remember the little victories because they are a foundation for the bigger ones. And God takes us through faith steps. He takes us through the little things. You know, you might want to pray for a headache for someone and you see God heal them from a headache. Then you say, okay, I can pray for a bad back now because God healed the headache, so he's going to heal the bad back. You know, faith is a process. Those little victories build our faith as well. Because we experience the Word of God working on our behalf. Amen? He said the outcome the way God had promised. God's promises to him were bigger in his heart than the situation he was facing. Amen? How do we learn God's language and learn to have the simple faith and victories like King David? Like I said before, David knew the covenant. So we need to know God's word. If we never pick up our Bible and we never read it, we're not going to know what God says. How do you get to know a person? You hang around them, you listen to what they say. How do you get to know God? You read his word. You find out what he says. God's word can crowd out the junk. Our mind is filled with junk. We go to work, what do you hear around you? Unbelief, negativity, filthiness, coarse jesting. You just hear it 24/7 around you at work. You come home and how many times and do you feel like my head is a garbage can? It's just full of junk. I remember Steve worked for a company, a metalworking company, so he was around a lot of tradesmen all day. And tradesmen have an interesting language. It's a language all of their own. Total filth. God bless them. But he used to come home and he said, honey, I'm going to the shower. And in the shower, as he washed himself off, you know, with normal water, he would actually clean himself with the blood of Jesus and the word of God. He would cleanse his mind. Say, Father, I just cleanse my mind. You know, so there is a process that, you know, when we're at work, we've got to come home and just get in the presence of God. Before we go to work, just get in the presence of God, because that negativity is at you 24/7. But if you are filling yourself up with the word every spare minute you have, you will crowd out that other stuff. You know, we need to watch our ear gates, watch our eye gates, begin to put in those things that are going to bring change in our lives. Now, the first step that happens when you're filling yourself up with God's word is a crowding out of the junk and a tearing down of strongholds. So the strongholds in our lives can be things like, you know, rejection, wrong thinking, constantly having a picture of the glass being half full, not half empty, or half empty instead of half full. Yeah, you know that concept, you know, having a negative outlook. You know, we can have those wrong thinkings. If our parents have always said, you'll never amount to anything, you'll never do anything right, there's some strongholds in our lives. If we've always looked for acceptance with people, if we've always been rejected, there'll be a strong root of rejection in our lives. So what the Word of God does, it comes in and it begins to saturate those areas of strongholds, and there's a demolishing process that goes in. Now, during the demolishing process, the outside working of us is like we feel a bit emotional. You can be a mess on the outside and God doing a huge work on the inside. Elizabeth knows what I'm talking about. She's been through this process. It takes some time of that tearing down before you actually even to feel even slightly solid. You actually feel a mess during the tearing down process. And when I was going through that, I really didn't know what was going on. It's now that I've come through, you know, the few years that God did a major work on my life, that I understand the process. And I realize, aha, okay, I was in that demolishing process. God was demolishing old thinking, old way of, you know, thinking. You might have a stronghold of, you know, watching the wrong kind of stuff. You might have an addiction to stuff. You know, whatever it is, there's a process of tearing down. That's the first thing. The second step is a process of believing in your heart. Now, the process of believing in your heart comes during the process of tearing down. It's like, I would call it, it's almost like a parallel movement. Do you know what I mean? It's like as the word comes in, the belief in the heart grows. And during that time of putting the word in, you listen to anointed teaching. Fill up yourself with anointed teaching, because that's digestible word. Fill yourself up with, you know, if you're on the way to work, you know, stick a CD in of preaching and teaching. When you come home, you know, put on the word, put on worship. Just use every opportunity you can to fill yourself up. And this overdose on the word, you can never actually overdose to the point of being, you know, dangerously overdosing. You can actually overdose and be healthy overdosing on the word of God. Okay? So as you're overdosing on the word of God, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So as you're overdosing, begin to ask God during this time, Lord, change me with your word. If you read something that really impacts you. Now, I had a season in my life that I was very depressed and my emotions were all over the place. So the only thing that kept me solid was when I said, Lord, I thank you that your joy is my strength. I'd have to, you know, get my emotions into order and say, Jesus, thank you for your joy. Just to try and steady my emotions. The word of God was my steadying balance. So I would lift my hands up and my feelings were not anywhere like that. I said, God, thank you for your joy. Thank you that your joy is my strength. Change me by the power of your word. Change me, oh God. I don't know how to change myself. Change me with your word. Change me with your presence. Change. Let this word be planted deep in my heart. God, build this foundation in my heart with your word. Lord, your word says that you know, a wise person to get understanding. Lord, help me to get understanding. Help me to get knowledge, you know, and I just cry out to God to change me by the power of his word. Because it's those things where you ask God that you actually receive. You know, if you have no desire to pick up the Bible, if you have no desire to pray, ask God. Say, God, change me. I want to change. I don't want to live like this. It's deadness living like this. It's deadness living without you. My life is so numb without you. God, change me. Lord, move in my life. Lord, I want you more than anything else. You know, call out to God and ask him. And when you read the word of God, ask him to change you by the power of that word. Because your life will change. The word of God brings change in your life. Nothing else changes you like the word of God. Nothing. And as we're speaking the word of God instead of our situation, as we're saying, Lord, your word says that you're my Jehovah Jireh. Everything's crying out lack. But Lord, your word says you're my Jehovah Jireh. Lord, I receive your provision. I thank you, Lord. You're my Jehovah Jireh. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. I feel really scared, but Lord, you said the righteous are as bold as lions. Father, I receive your boldness. I receive your ability. Speaking the word as belief in your heart comes into play actually activates faith. It activates faith to receive the desired result. So, as I said, the first thing is putting the word in. Listening. Until it starts to come out. At this point, you know, you can actually dream the word of God. I used to wake up dreaming the word of God when I was just shoving my head full of the word of God. I'd wake up dreaming scriptures. That's when you know that the word of God is coming into your heart in abundance. You know, the word actually brings joy in your life. If you're feeling depressed, you know what it is? Lack of the word. Depression is a lack of the word of God. Simple. The more word, the more time you spend in God's presence, the more joy. Because the Bible says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. That's God's promise. Makes perfect sense. In his presence is fullness of joy. And his right hand pleasures forevermore. And there's times in our lives that, you know, our emotions get attacked. Things happen in our life. I mean, I'm a woman. I have lots of emotions. But God's word is my steady balance. God's word is my comfy blanket. God's word is the thing that brings me back into focus and say, you know what? Doesn't matter what situation I'm facing, God's word is true. And I choose to believe that. Okay, now there's two types of word. Now, the problem that we've faced a lot is that people think, by keep on saying it, I say it, that somehow if I say it 5,000 times that it's going to happen. No. Okay? That's what we call the Logos word. The Logos word is just the written word. Like, for instance, you know, William and Catherine's wedding? Did anyone watch that? It was lovely. Anyone watch Prince William and Catherine's? You can put your hand up. It's okay. You're allowed to watch TV. It's all good. You know, it's okay. I'm not going to tell you off. It's all good. Anyway, at their wedding, the written word was spoken. I think they read a scripture out of Corinthians. And like for me, you know, it was like, wow, I'm listening to the word of God. This is powerful. But, you know, they just read it. It meant nothing. You know, the person reading it was just like, oh, I'm just reading a scripture from the Bible. Well, that's what the Logos word is. It's just the written word. Does that make any sense? So as you're putting the written word in, as you're reading the word, and sometimes, you know, when you read the word, it can feel like a telephone book. Has anyone experienced that? Reading the word and then you think, you know, you're halfway down the chapter and you think, I don't remember anything that I've read. Okay? So take a small passage at a time. Concentrate on that. Chew it over. Speak it out of your mouth. Say it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Lord. This is the written word that I'm saying now. I'm saying the written word. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But as I'm saying it, I'm saying, God, bring revelation to me on this particular word. Holy Spirit, show me what it means. Let me experience your word. Let change me with this one scripture. I am now taking the Logos word and asking for the Holy Spirit to give me Rhema word. Now, Rhema word actually means revelation knowledge. Now, as this joy of the Lord is my strength experience becomes Rhema knowledge, which is revelation knowledge, and I speak that revelation word out of my mouth, what happens? I experience joy. It's that revelation word that brings a desired result. Not the Logos word. The Logos word we need just to begin to break down strongholds, mindsets. It's when God moves by the power of his spirit on the written word that we get revelation that brings the desired result. And that takes asking God. That takes time. That takes dedication. That takes commitment to say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Okay? I'm tired of living this humdrum life. I want to see change. I want to see my spiritual walk change. I want to have a Christianity that's alive. I want to have fullness of his presence. I want to have fullness of joy. I want to experience everything that he has for me. You know, I remember probably about 20 years ago now, honey. We've been married a long time. Steve got very, very ill. He got hit with 41 degrees Celsius temperature, and he went sort of a bit unconscious, and I was a bit concerned about that. So he used to suffer, because he'd been in a lot of different countries, he used to suffer fevers, and I don't know where that came from, but I think maybe he picked up something in his travels. So when we first got married, he would have these fevers and the bed would be completely soaked with sweat. And it finally got to a point that Steve said, you know, I don't want to have this in my life anymore. And I would hear him go, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He would say it over and over. And I would say, honey, I'm in agreement with you. By the stripes of Jesus, you're healed. And over and over and over. And this went on for about a week. And then one day he came out and he said, honey, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And he was a different man. It was like there was just complete change on his face. What had happened, that written word had become Rhema. And, you know, the next day he got out of bed completely whole, never to have a fever again like that. There was a point where the word of God came from that, just that plain written word, to a point where it's, I really know this is true. And there's areas of our lives that we've experienced the Word of God, we've experienced the change of God that have given us faith. There's so many different areas, like there's healing, there's belief for provision, all this, that we may have experienced change, that we may have experienced a release of victory in certain areas. We might have a really good faith area in the area of healing, but have no faith for finances. So the Bible says the Word of God prospers for the thing that it's been sent. My advice is to go home this week and say, Holy Spirit, highlight the areas that my faith level needs upping. Do I need to put the Word in the area of acceptance? Do I really believe that you accept me? Or is that a real area in my life that my faith level's low, that every time I come into a relationship, I feel rejected? Number two, do I really believe that you're my provider? Or every time I come into having to pay another bill, do I go into panic? My faith level needs to come up a bit. So the whole point is, examine your hearts. Let's examine our hearts and say, okay, Lord, we all have areas, me included, me more than most people. I trust God. I say, Lord, you know, if you can use me, you can use anybody. That's how I see myself. I am here by the grace of God. I'm not here by anything else but by the grace of God. God is so faithful. I'm no one special. I'm just Danielle. The least of my brothers and sisters, they had all the gifts and abilities. And I was left as the youngest and the baby and the one with, you know, the brains, they used to say. You're the one that studies. You're the one that's the science nerd, you know. But they were the creative ones. They were these flamboyant business entrepreneurial people. And I would stand back and go, wow, these people are amazing. This is my family, you know. But God says, no, it's my faith, it's my word, it's my ability in you that brings change. So go home, examine your heart and say, Lord, what areas am I suffering? What areas is my faith low? What areas do I know I need to build my faith? Get scriptures. It might just start off with the Logos word. You know, you might be believing God for direction in your life. You might be believing God for just, you go home and you go, Lord, what that lady was talking about, everything. I need everything. Well, just put the word on in every area, you know. Do a word fast. Turn the telly off, turn everything off. Say, God, give me grace to do this, but I need a change. I need the power of your word to bring complete change in me. You know, and let's help each other as a church. You know, if you hear one of us say something bad, then say, hang on a sec, that isn't faith, that's an idle word there. Let's encourage one another. It's tough because sometimes you're going to offend people. But as we help each other to grow and we start to get our words right, what's going to happen? We're going to see dramatic results. I'm talking to myself here, guys. You know, I just know that the Word of God is my foundation. The Word of God is the thing that brings stability in my life. Without it, I'm an emotional mess. Emotional roller coaster. Some people might not have that issue. Some people can just be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Like Joyce's husband, Dave. You know, when she talks about him, he just was the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think, like she says, oh, she's so desired to be like that, to be like this same yesterday, today, and forever. Some people are naturally wired that way. But for me, without God's word, I'm up one day, down the next, around the corner, doing something else, trying to find something. You know, God's word is my stability. He is my source. And we all need his word in whatever way. You know, everyone, you know, is unique. But I know that the word of God will come. Another thing the word does, it brings you identity. You know, so many times, how many people remember in their 20s that in their 20s they're going, who am I? Why am I on the earth? What's my purpose in life? Now, we should be through that by the time we're 40, but if you're still there, lack of God's word, you know. The word of God brings identity. The word of God shows us who we are. The Bible says it's like a mirror. The enemy holds a funny mirror up in front of you and says, this is who you are. You know, if anyone sort of stood in front of those mirrors with the funny shapes and the funny, you know, things that make you fat or make you skinny or make you weird head, you know. Well, that's what the enemy's mirror's like, okay? We may have used people through your life to show you that yucky mirror, but God's picture is true and that's shown in his word. Amen. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, God, that you are establishing your promises in our lives, that your promises are real. They're always yes and amen. Father, we thank you for boldness to declare your word. Father, we thank you that we are choosing your word no matter what the circumstance come at, no matter what the circumstances say. If the circumstances say negativity, lack, never going to happen, Father, we thank you that your word says yes. Your word says we're always a success. Your word says that we are always winners. Father, we receive that word implanted in our heart today. I ask you, Lord God, I ask, Father, that every one of us will have a new revelation of your word this week, that we're going to see the word, the understanding of your word come to fullness in our life, Jesus. Lord, that our words will begin to be filled with what you have said about us, what you have said about a situation, that our words will be filled with good things, that our words will be filled with what you want to do in our lives, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for the privilege of having your word, for the privilege of being able to have 10 Bibles, having as much teaching as we want and not being restricted. Thank you for that, Lord God. Thank you for Australia. Thank you for this country. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us such freedom here. Lord, I thank you for this week. Bless everyone. Cause them to prosper. That everything they put their hand to, Father, we just claim favor for them as they walk into their workplace or wherever, what appointments they have. We thank you for clarity. We thank you for right thinking. We thank you for blessing in all that they do. In Jesus' name, we give you glory and praise. Let's just lift up our hands and say thank you to him. He's just so wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you are mighty, O God, that you are powerful, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory and honor. And thank you, Lord, that you're changing us with your word. You're changing us with your presence, O God. You're transforming us to be all that you've called us to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to ask before I finish. Well, I am finished. It's okay. Don't worry. It's not going to be verily, verily, and then 10 chapters down there, finally, my brethren, you know. Does anyone have a praise report of the goodness of God, of something good that God's done for you? Does anyone have something they want to share? A quick testimony? Yes, Ben, come.
Well, as some of you may know, I'm going to Asia. And one of my friends said that at the end of the month, he'd pay whatever I need left for the Asia trip. And he has. So I have all I need. So thank you.